أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على خير المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. So welcome back to class 21. We've now been working our way through the sections relating to prayer, and we're approaching the very end, the very final couple of sections, inshallah, relating to prayer. So today we're talking about two things. We're talking about sunnah prayers, and we're talking about how one does the fard prayer in certain situations. We talked about that last time when we talked about the travel prayer, but there's another place where it is sunnah to change the form of the obligatory prayers, and that's what's called Salat al-Khawf. And Khawf is the opposite of Amn. It's when you feel unsafe. Khawf means to feel unsafe. So when the Muslims are in a situation, usually when it's in a battle situation, as it was in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this situation, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ. That sort of section that talks about the fear of prayer, when it's talking to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And it says, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ, if you are among them. So there have been some of the scholars who said that the fear prayer was exclusive to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was one of his khasa'is. But this is not the position that we take, because of the fact that the companions, after the time of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, continued to pray this particular form of the prayer. And this particular form of the prayer, as I said, was legislated in order to make sure that the Muslims were protected even when they were in their prayer, that they could not be set upon by the enemy. So he says, وَصَلَاةُ الْخَوْفِ فِي السَّفَرِ. The prayer of fear, the fear prayer in travel, when people are traveling. Now, obviously, the Muslims tended to fight most of their battles where they were in conflict with the enemy when they were traveling. They would leave their place of residence. They wouldn't stay there to fight the battle, and they would go out on a ghazwa, on a raid. And often this was quite some distance. Tabuk was a long way from where the Muslims were. So this, the reason for this, obviously, the reason, because this comes into jihad, the reason for jihad is to open up the lands to give people the gift that we have been given. Because we are not greedy, holding on to this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and keeping it for ourselves and denying it to other people. No, we realize what a gift this is to all of mankind. And so we want to make sure that they all have access to it. In fact, if you look in some of the books of fiqh, they talk about the greatest wealth of that you can get when you go to the other lands, not being all the gold and the silver and the lands and the slaves, but being the people themselves. That people coming into Islam is the greatest tharwa, the greatest wealth for the Muslims. So this was the purpose of jihad. It wasn't something that was for the purpose of killing people, but rather for giving people something that we have, opening it up, making it possible for them, removing the impediments, whether it's their leadership or whatever, that allows the deen to be taught to people and brought to people. So it's a very important consideration. But this fear prayer, on the whole, the Muslims went out to fight, so it was usually done while they were traveling. وَصَلَاةُ الْخَوْفِ السَّفَرِ إِذَا خَافَ الْعَدُوُ. This prayer fair happens when the Muslims are traveling, when they have a reason to fear the enemy, when the enemy are close by and might set upon them at any time. And it happens that أَتِي أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ الْإِمَامُ بِطَائِفَةٍ, that the imam goes forward wherever they are. It might be in a mosque, they might have a musalla, it might be close to the battlefield, it might just be a flat area where the imam can do the prayer, where they are protected from the enemy, and so that the rest of the Muslims can be somewhere where they can guard them, but the enemy cannot strike the Muslims as they're praying. He goes forward with a ta'ifa, with one group. Now, it's very important to say that this fear prayer only ever divides the Muslims into two groups. You cannot say, if you are a resident, for example, and you have four rakats in your prayer, say, okay, we'll divide the Muslims into four groups, because that's safer if three groups defend the Muslims and one group prays with the imam and does one rakat each with the imam in that way. No, it's only ever two groups. They don't have to be the same size, although it usually would have worked out that they are the same size. They just have to both be capable of doing the job that they are there to do, which is to protect the Muslims. They have to be enough of them to be able to fulfill that and keep the enemy at bay. So يتقدم الإمام بطائفة ويضع طائفة مواجهة العدو. So the Imam goes forward to pray with one group of the people and leaves another group facing in the direction of the enemy. فيصلي الإمام بطائفة ركعة. The Imam prays one rak'at because the travel prayer is two rak'ats, apart from Maghrib, which he'll talk about in a bit. The Imam prays one rak'at of the two rak'ats with the first group. فيصلي الإمام بطائفة ركعة ثم يثبت قائما. Then, after he has finished that rak'at, he goes up and stands up. And then everybody else behind him stands up with him. Then the Imam just stands there. Doesn't do anything apart from stand there. And then everybody else, وَيُسَلُّونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ رَكَعَةً. Everybody else does their rakat on their own now behind him. So the Imam has done the first rakat, has got Allahu Akbar from the sajda of the first rakat, stood up. Now he just stands there. Doesn't even recite, nothing. Just stands there. The rest of the people behind him do their recitation. They recite their surah. They recite the Fatiha and their surah, all in their own time. They don't do it together. Each person prays on his own and completes the prayer on his own. But then they don't all go off one by one. They then wait when they finish and they go off as a group together to replace the other group. So, ثُمَّ يُسَلِّمُونَ. Then they say their salam, they leave their prayer. فَيَقِفُونَ مَكَانَ أَصْحَابِهِمْ. And then they go and take the place of the other group, their companions. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي أَصْحَابُهُمْ. فَيُحْرِمُونَ خَلْفَ الْإِمَامِ. Then the other group, the other people who were guarding against the enemy, come to where the Imam is, and he's still standing there. And this time, while he's standing there, he's doing dhikr of Allah, istighfar, making dua for the Muslims. That's what he's doing while he's standing there. Obviously, you need to have somebody, you know, because we don't know what distance it is, who can keep his wudu for quite some time as well, because he has to remain in wudu throughout this time, the Imam. The takbirat al-ihram behind the Imam, and then once he hears them all join him, then he recites the Fatiha, he recites the surah, فَيُصَلِّ بِهِمْ رَكَعَةَ ثَانِيَةً, and he prays the second rak'at with him. ثُمَّ يَتَشَهَدْ. Then he, when he sits down at the end of the second rak'at, does his tashahud, says assalamu alaykum. ثُمَّ يَقْضُونَ الرَّكْعَةَ الَّتِي فَاتَتْهُمْ. Then they make up the rak'at that they missed. So after the Imam says assalamu alaykum, they stand up, they do the rest of their rak'at, then they finish the prayer, وَيَنْصَرِفُونَ. They go back either to join their companions, or if that has been dealt with, the enemy hasn't come because they've been safe and guarded, then they do whatever they were going to do amongst the Muslims, whether it's traveling on further or whatever it might be. وَيَنْصَرِفُونَ. They leave. هكذا يفعل في صلاة الفرائض كلها إلا المغرب. This is what you do for all of the far prayers, that is Subh, Dhuhr, Asr, Isha, for all of them, إلا المغرب, except for Maghrib. فإنه يصلي بالطائفة الأولى ركعتين وبالثانية ركعة. For Maghrib, he does two rak'ats with the first group and one rak'at with the second group. Now, the one question people might ask is, how does the Imam wait for the second group? Does he wait sitting down, or does he stand up and wait as he waited in the previous one? The ulama have two positions. But I mean, I think it's whatever is easier for this Imam. If it might be waiting for a long time, it might be easier for him to wait sitting down. And then he just simply does dhikr of Allah and all of that after he's finished his tashahud, and he does dua for the Muslims. Or it's perfectly fine for him to stand up and just wait standing while the rest complete, while the other people complete that final rak'at. Then they come, they pray one rak'at with the Imam, and then they make up the two rak'ats out loud and with the surah after the Imam has finished. The second group. So they're making up a rak'at. It's not like the Imam's rak'at is their first rak'at. They're going to make up what they missed. وَإِن صَلَّى بِهِمْ فِي الْحَضَرِ. If he does this prayer with them when they are resident, not traveling, لِشِدَّةِ الْخَوْفِ, when there is a lot of fear, when the enemy, for example, at the Battle of the Ditch are besieging the Muslims, and they could enter at any moment, so you have to be on your guard. By the way, this is talking about when there is a certain amount of fear, but not too much. If the enemy are on you, You cannot do this prayer. If you're basically in the heat of battle or about to be in the heat of battle, this is not the prayer that you do. He's going to mention what prayer you do in a minute. So he says here, if this happens while the Muslims are resident, say they are besieged, salah, whether they pray this in the mosque or where you are sort of closer to defend the Muslim city, that's another matter. It depends, you know, on the level of the fear. Salah fi dhuhr wal asr wal isha bi kulli ta'ifatin rak'atayn. Then he prays for dhuhr, asr, and isha, two rak'ats with each group. So like the maghrib, two and then one. Here, two and then two. Exactly the same format that we mentioned earlier. Exactly the same. وَلِكُلِّ صَلَاتٍ أَذَانٌ وَإِقَامَةٌ. Every prayer has an adhan and iqama. This is a general rule across the board. Every fard prayer has the adhan and the iqama when it is done in jama'ah. When you pray on your own, the adhan is not necessary. But every fard prayer, when you are praying in a jama'ah and you are trying to get other people to join you, if you're praying in a jama'ah and it's just you and your wife, you wouldn't do the adhan. If you're praying in a jama'ah, just you and a couple of friends who you're always the same group there and you're not trying to get anybody else to join you, you wouldn't call the adhan. But generally speaking, the adhan and the iqamah are part of every prayer. Apart from non-fard prayers. This is why they always say when they talk about the Eid prayer, they talk about the istisqa, there is no adhan and no iqama, because it is a specific characteristic of the fard prayer, the adhan and the iqama. They were legislated for the fard prayer and they cannot be used for other prayers. He says here, وَإِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْخَوْفِ عَنْ ذَٰلِكَ. If the fear is even greater than it is here, the Muslims are even less safe. He says here, صَلُّوا وَحْدَانًا. They say, each person prays on his own, بِقَدْرِ طَاقَتِهِمْ, according to what he can do and still be safe from the enemy. So here he says here, مُشَاتًا أَوْ رُكْبَانًا. They might be on foot or they might be on horseback. They might be mashin أَوْ سَاعِينَ. They might actually be walking or they might actually be running while they're praying. مُسْتَقْبِلِ الْقِبْلَ أَوْ غَيْرِ مُسْتَقْبِلِيهَا. They might be facing the Qibla, or they might be facing away from the Qibla. They might be engaging in battle, physically in battle, actually fighting while they're praying. So they're basically doing the prayer internally. The fact that you do the prayer like this is a very strong indication that the prayer should never be delayed outside of its time. If even when you are fighting the enemy and the prayer time comes, you are commanded to pray in whichever way you can. Obviously, you have to be in wudu. You might be covered from head to foot in impurity. But in those circumstances, you can pray and you get the time of the prayer. I mean, this is how the importance of the prayer in its time. So, the Messenger of Allah famously said that the best of actions is the prayer in the beginning of its time. It's an incredible thing. Bab fi salatil eidain wa takbir ayyam mina. Now, are you talking about a chapter where we relate to actual sunnah prayers? This is a sunnah way of doing the prayer. It's a sunnah to do the prayer like this, if you can do it. But here we're talking about actual sunnah prayers. Before I go on to the two Eids, which is what he's talking about here, the most important of all these sunnah prayers, sunnah mu'akkada, is the witr prayer. And the witr prayer, it's important to know, is one rak'at, according to the position of Imam Malik. One rak'at. But that doesn't mean that you don't do the shafa' before it. It just means that if time is very tight, you can just do one rak'at. Otherwise, you do three. Two, then assalamu alaikum, that's called shafa', then the one. And there was obviously recommended to do sabbih isma in the first rak'at of shafa', and qul ya ayyuhal kafirun in the second rak'at of shafa', and then qul huwallahu ahad, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, and qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas in the rak'at of witr. But it's best to do also to make sure you always do the three because of the khilaf. Some people have taken the position that witr is three rakats and must be done without a salam. So we generally speaking do our witr, shafa and witr together. Now it's important to know when you're traveling, sometimes you can bring your isha forward to the time of maghrib, especially if you have jadda sayr, if it's going to be difficult and you're not going to be able to pray isha in its time. But you cannot bring witr forward. So you cannot, you cannot bring witr forward. So if you do bring your Isha forward, you still have to pray the witr in its time. We talked before, you can still do the witr prayer on horseback and other things very easily. So it's not the same conditions as attached to a fard. So it's easier to do it, say if you're about to get on a long bus ride. Sorry. And then there are other recommended prayers. He mentioned before the ones before and after each fard prayer. They're called they're the mu'akkad, nawafil mu'akkada. They emphasize nawafil. Then there's the duha prayer, which is after the time of prayer becomes halal in the morning. It's important to know, by the way, that most of these sunnah prayers that we're going to talk about, these group sunnah prayers, are only done in the morning. Why? Why are they only done in the morning and not the rest of the day? Because the rest of the day, starting with dhuhr all the way until sunrise, is the time of the fara'id prayers. Each time from then, there is a fard prayer that is obligatory in that time. Apart from the morning. The morning is set aside for the emphasized sunnah prayers. So it's important to realize that. That's why, for example, you can't pray the Eid prayer after dhuhr. You have to wait until the next day if you're doing the Hajj Eid and do it then. Or if an eclipse prayer, if an eclipse, the sun has an eclipse after dhuhr, you don't do an eclipse prayer because it's outside of its time. Or if you want to ask for rain, you only do it in the morning and so on and so on. There are two Eid prayers. He says here, Bab fi salatil Eidain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah 2 days of celebration, two Eids. And the prayer is done on both of them. One obviously has the zakat al-fitr and the other one has the sacrifice. So they have some differences, but they both are the same in terms of both having Eid prayers. One, it's recommended for you to be fasting when you come out to it. One, it's recommended for you to have eaten before when you come out to it. So there are slight differences. They are so the Eid al-Fitr, which is about to come soon, the Eid that follows the end of the month of Ramadan, the Eid of breaking the fast, in a sense. And then you have Eid al-Adha, which is the one that comes at the end of the, the day after Arafat, while people are still on their Hajj. And that's the day of sacrifice. So this chapter talks about those prayers, how they're done, and also some other things relating to the Eid and the day, the takbirs that are done in the days of Mina, the days of Mina being the 11th of Dhul-Hijjah, the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah, and the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. The days after you have done your main sacrifice, when you come back after doing the Tawaf al-Ifada, and you spend those days doing your Rami, your stoning, they're called the days of Eid, the days of Mina. And there are either two or three, if you want to stay for a third. وَصَلَاتُ الْعِيدَيْنِ وَصَلَاتُ فِي الْعِيدَيْنِ سُنَّ وَاجِبًا. The prayer of the two Eids is a wajib sunnah. By wajib sunnah, he means a sunnah mu'akkada, an emphasized sunnah. يَخْرُجُ لَهَا الْإِمَامُ وَالنَّاسُ ضَحْوَةً. The imam and the people leave to go out to it. He uses the word يَخْرُجُ because you actually tend to leave the city. You leave enclosed spaces. You go into the largest space you can find. Because the important thing about the Eid is that everybody in that particular area attends. You don't split it up. You may have more than one mosque in a city. And the mosques only allow a certain number of people, so you have to have more than one for people to pray Jumu'ah. Although it's better to have a bigger, big mosque than lots of small mosques. But still, you can get away with that. But for the Eid, no. You don't do it in the mosques because the mosques are too small for everybody. You go out and you go out to a wide open space. The Muslims used to go out to the desert to do the Eid. They were what they call the Musalla. And we do the same. We go out to the park. But the larger the place we can, the better. If we could get all of the Muslims of one city at the very least to do it together, it would meet the precondition of it much more thoroughly. So you leave, he says here, dahwatan, which means after the day has started, after sunrise has started. And then, biqadri ma idha wasala hanati salah, giving yourself enough time that you can get there before the prayer time has come. If you leave even further away, say you're coming all the way from a village just outside the city to get to the musalla, and it will take you quite a long time to get there. If you leave after sunrise, you're going to miss the prayer, then you have to leave before, obviously. The important thing is getting to the musalla in time to do the prayer. وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا أَذَانٌ وَلَا إِقَامَةٌ. There is no adhan and no iqamah. As I said, for any non-obligatory prayer, there isn't. But you still can say, for example, as-salatu jami'ah, or salat al-eid, to announce to the people that they're ready to stand up to pray. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, for example, in the salat al-istisqa and others, as-salatu jami'ah. This prayer is in congregation, is ready to be prayed. فَيُصَلِّ بِهِمْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. So unlike the Jumu'ah here, this also has a khutbah. You do the prayer first. He says here, the imam comes, he arrives, and then he leads the people in two rak'ats. يَقْرَعُ فِيهِمَا جَهْرًا, in which he recites out loud بِأُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ with the Fatiha, وَسَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَنَحْوِهِمَا, and surahs such as سَبِّحْ اسْمَ وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, and other surahs of that sort of length. وَيُكَبِّرُ فِي الْأُولَى سَبْعًا قَبْلَ الْقِرَاءَ, and he says seven takbirs, Allahu Akbar. He says Allahu Akbar seven times. This is the same for both Eid prayers. In the first rak'ah, before he does the recitation, he says, the imam says Allahu Akbar out loud seven times, including the takbir of entering into the prayer. So that's six on top of the takbir of entering into the prayer. And everybody behind him also repeats after him the takbirs. He says, يُعَدُّ فِيهَا تَكْبِيرَةِ الْإِحْرَامِ. The takbir al-ihram is counted as one of those seven. وَفِي الثَّانِيَةِ خَمْسُ تَكْبِيرَاتِ. Oh, khamsa takbirat. In the second, he does five takbirs. He says here, la yu'addu fiha takbirat al-qiyam, not including the takbir for getting up. That doesn't count. So it's basically seven and five, really, that are done out loud that people copy the imam in doing. If you are late and you've arrived to find the imam has already said his takbirs, and he's already reciting the Quran, what do you do? You do the takbirs still yourself. You do all the takbirs. So long as the imam is still before the ruku' and hasn't got out of it, you do all of your takbirs. Because you've caught that rak'at, so you do all of your takbirs. If you've missed that rak'at, then you don't do, you just join with a single takbir. And then when you get up afterwards, you do six, because you've done your takbir al-ihram is not now one of them. When you make up that rak'at. So you do five with the imam in the second rak'at, then you do six for the one that you're making up. وَفِي كُلِّ رَكْعَةٍ سَجْدَتَانٍ. He says here, in every rak'at, there's two sajdas. Because he's trying to distinguish here between one of the prayers, which we don't do very often, which is the eclipse prayer, which has two ruku'as and two sajdas in every rak'at. ثُمَّ يَتَشَاهَدْ وَيُسَلِّمْ. Then he does the tashahud and says, Assalamu alaikum. ثُمَّ يَرْقِي الْمِنْبَرْ وَيَخْتُبْ. Then he finishes the prayer, then he goes onto the minbar, or we have a seat. By the way, this is another difference we're going to come to. There are these number of prayers like this one, and then there's the rain prayer as well, that also has a khutbah. The rain prayer, there is no minbar. There is no seat. If you do the rain prayer, the imam sits on the ground and then stands on the ground. In this one, you'll often see when you go to the musallas, they have built minbars in these musallas in the same way that you'll find in the mosque, so the imam goes on them. Obviously, we have something temporary. We just bring a chair with us. But if we had a minbar, we would go up on the same way as we do for Jumu'ah. وَيَخْطُبْ, and he gives a khutbah. The difference with this khutbah is, in the khutbah of Jumu'ah, he says, Alhamdulillah. He starts both khutbahs with hamd, with praise of Allah. Then in the khutbah of the Eid, he replaces that with takbirs. And he does takbirs throughout the khutbah. So people join in with the takbirs. And also another thing with the khutbah of the Eid, it's important to know when you are in the khutbah of the Ramadan Eid, it is a sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to talk about zakat al-fitr in the second khutbah, which is why you're probably thinking, why? Well, we've already paid our zakat al-fitr. Why is the imam talking about it? Because that's one of the sunnahs of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the Hajj Eid, it's a sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the second khutbah after the sitting to talk about the sacrifice. Some people are thinking, well, we haven't got an opportunity to do the sacrifice where we are. Why is that being talked about? Because it's one of the sunnahs of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we hope that, you know, the situation returns to one where we are all able to do it in the manner as practiced by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. And also in the other khutbah, the istisqa, the one that is asking for rain, you replace the takbirs or the hamd with istighfar. So you say a lot of astaghfirullah when you do that particular one. So he says, you do a khutbah, yajlisu fi awwali khutbatihi, you sit at the beginning of the khutbah. So you don't just get up there and start speaking immediately. You get up onto the minbar, the imam, then he sits down. Why? In order to get people that have been praying ready to listen. So people sit down and prepare themselves. Wa wasatiha, and he sits down in the middle of the khutbah. In other words, it's two khutbahs. Thumma yansarif, then he leaves. Wa yustahabbu an yarji'a min tariqin ghayr al-tariq alladhi ata minha. And it is recommended when you go home after the Eid prayer that you go back following a different route to the route you took when you came. Because this was something the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And they say it's also because it gives an opportunity for more of Allah's creation to bear witness on your behalf to your having gone to the Eid. And also they say that there was a practice of people to give sadaqah, and it gave them an opportunity to give sadaqah to people they hadn't been giving sadaqah to on the way. وَالنَّاسُ كَذَلِكَ And the people do the same. The imam goes that way. The people also go by a different route in the same way that he does. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الْأَضْحَى خَرَجَ بِأُضْحِيَّةٍ إِلَى الْمُصَلَّى If it is the day of Adha, the imam should bring his sacrificial animal with him to the Eid prayer. Obviously, this is obviously not something we could go in the middle of the park and bring it with us. But the reason why then he says here, فَذَبَحَهَا أَوْ نَحَرَهَا Then he sacrifices it either by cutting the throat, which you do with certain types of animals, or by stabbing through this area, which you do with camels and other ones that are too big to sacrifice them by stabbing the throat. It's a swifter thing where you stab into the heart through the nahr, goes straight through the jugular into the heart. That's what's called nahr. Dhabh is when you cut the jugular. He does that in front of the people. لِيُعْلَمَ ذَلِكَ النَّاسِ So the people can know فَيَذْبَحُونَ بَعْدَ and do their own sacrifice after him. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, if you do the sacrifice of the Eid before the imam, and the imam is a broad term, it might mean the imam of the person praying, and it can mean the emir of the Muslims. And often they were the same person. In the early times, it was the leader of the Muslims who would give the khutbah. Sayyidina Umar gave the khutbah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr gave the khutbah, Sayyidina Uthman gave the khutbah, and so on. So it was the same position. That's why you might think, does it refer to the leader or does it refer to the imam? But the imam is the person that people see. And the Messenger of Allah specifically said the word imam. So if that imam does it, then you hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. And he said, if it's done before, then it's simply a sadaqah that you are giving and has no part of the nusuk of the udhiyah. And then you would have to do it again. It wouldn't count. So you'd have to have a second sheep. So anyway, that's done there to make sure that it's done after him. If the imam doesn't do it in front of the people, which can't happen very often, then what you have to do then is to estimate, or even in the modern world where you have phones, contact people to find out what time the imam has done it, if the imam is doing it, and then do it after him. وَلْيَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي خُرُوجِهِ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ فِي الْفِطْرِ وَالْأَضْحَى جَهْرًا And you should start doing the dhikr of the Eid the moment you leave your house out loud. You do it out loud on both Eids. Some people say there's a difference in the form that you say, but the same form of you doing the takbirs and the halala, la ilaha illallahs, and the hamd that we normally do is absolutely fine. There's lots of variants of it, and they are all fine. In fact, in many of the things, the Muslim countries, by the time they come to the Eid, because you continue it here, you have two groups or two main people. One does it, and then the other one almost like responds, and then back and forth. So, I mean, this was one of the ways that it was often done. One type of voice followed by maybe one higher voice followed by one deeper voice in a sort of like rebounding fashion. Hatta ya'ti al-musalla, until he comes. So this is still talking about the imam. The imam himself does this. Everybody does this. You go out from your house doing this, and you continue to do it until you come to the musalla, the place where you're praying. And as I said, the musalla should be outside the mosque because it's a much bigger area to get everybody and the kitchen sink present. So basically, everybody. It's a sunnah for men, yes, but everybody is recommended to come to the Eid prayer, including children, including women, including old, including the young, you know, whatever the people are, they're all travelers, slaves, everything. Unlike the Jummah, which is specifically, you know, emphasized for men, this is more emphasized for everybody. And then when you come to the Istisqa, it's even more emphasized for everybody. والناس كذلك, and the people also do the same. فإذا دخل الإمام للصلاة قطعوا ذلك. The moment the imam comes out to do the prayer, they stop doing the dhikr. Then he talks about another dhikr. ويكبرون بتكبير الإمام في خطبته. And then while the imam is doing the khutbah, whenever the imam says Allahu Akbar in the khutbah, then the people say the takbir after him. So this is the difference between this khutbah and the khutbah of Jumu'ah. The khutbah of Jumu'ah, you're meant to just listen to the whole of it. You're not meant to be saying anything. Well, maybe you'll say salawat on the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but you're generally not saying anything. Where in this one is almost participatory. When the imam says the takbir, you participate and join in. It's a day of joy, a day of proclaiming the greatness of Allah for all that He has given you. وَيُنْصِتُونَ لِمَا لَهُ فِيمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ, and you listen to everything else that he has to say. Sometimes, though, the musallas are so big that you will be so far away from the imam that you can't hear a word that he's saying. But that doesn't mean that you don't still sit and make an effort to turn your ear in his direction to see if you can pick up something.